Ferris wheels and all like food, animals. It's wild.
Instead of a turkey dinner, they have KFC. I kid you not.
Oh my! I saw him and I was like, "Hey, Eid Mubarak!" And he was so tight. Oh my! Pots and pan man,
the
moon face.
Pots and pan man.
Like, I'll have two more shots of cake.
Yeah. Now peppers. Now roses. Now tomatoes and sage. Welcome back to the Helpful Gardeners podcast. Well, this week, as promised, we are going to be talking all about festive traditions, not just Christmas, but we're also going to be talking a bit about holiday treats. And we have a special holiday story that yours truly asked ChatGPT. I did all the work.
Yeah.
Slaved over it for hours.
You know what? You did do the work because you give ChatGPT the prompt. And,
I did.
And then it did. You know, confession time. What? I have never used ChatGPT.
Oh, well, I think that's a good thing.
Yeah. I know, Nelly. Everybody else has. And I was also very late to the game with all technology. I was one of the last amongst all of my friends to get a smartphone. An email address when that started becoming popular, a computer even. I was always well behind those trends.
Yeah, that's okay. That's why you have me.
Exactly. I'm not the tech guy. I'm not the tech guy. I'm the sit in my office and plants all day.
Exactly.
Guy.
And you're really good at it.
Yeah, exactly. I've got my strengths.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Well, in celebration of today, I pumpkin spiced you, but not pumpkin spiced. I sugar cookied you.
Sugar cookie.
I don't know. We ended up getting some festive drinks to help celebrate today's episode. But I mean, I wanted to do a deep dive today just on some of the holiday traditions, not just Christmas, because Christmas is a big part of December for both of us.
Yep.
But there's also a ton of celebrations that are happening to celebrate the end of the year. In Germany, you've heard about the German markets.
Oh, yeah.
Big draws, like big tourist draws, too.
You hesitate to call it a market.
Mm-hmm.
It's more like, Tiffany's and Saks Fifth Avenue have these market stalls. Like the things you see there are so over the top. But it's outdoor to stall, so it's a market. But
yeah,
it is. They've got, I've seen pictures, and they've got like Ferris wheels and all like food, animals. It's wild.
It makes me so happy. Like, yeah. I know we have markets here. Markets have kind of blown up a bit in Canada over the last few years. But in Germany, nothing beats a German Christmas market. And actually, to go along with that, Austria, at my other job, we work a lot with pilots. And a lot of them come from overseas to learn and get their license and all of that. And we had a couple of gentlemen from Austria, and they would tell us about their Christmas traditions, and they don't even put up a tree until December 24th. They get the whole family together and they do almost all of their celebrations on the 24th itself.
Yep.
And then on the 25th, it's just, you know, celebrating, drinking.
I knew that because when we were growing up in England, a lot of continental Europe, 24th is the big day.
Yeah.
Christmas Day is actually more of a day of rest and relaxation and food and family. There isn't so much the gift giving.
Mm-hmm.
And I did everything in my power to convince my parents that that's how we should celebrate Christmas, just because I wanted my presents a day earlier. They never went for it. I didn't know that part, that they put the tree up on the
20th. Yeah, so they decorate the tree then.
When did they take it down?
I didn't get that far.
Oh, okay. Because I'm
was
like,
just
it
excited
seems very short-lived.
I never want to think about the takedown process. Yeah. I only want to think about the decorating.
How long does your tree stay up?
Like after New Year's, for sure.
Last year, our tree was down on the 28th.
I don't know what's wrong with me. I just love, I don't know, this the lights, it's the memories, it's the coziness. And going into January when everything is so cold here in Alberta. Well, this year, no. This year's been warm. But I don't know. I like to just stretch it out a little bit longer.
There is a superstition. Is that a tradition? Kind of, I guess. A bad tradition? A scary tradition? But anyway, my mom does it. But your tree has to be down before a certain date, like January 12th. I don't know. I'm just making stuff up. I'm like, why? And my mom's like, well, I don't know. It's just bad luck. I'm like,
oh,
right.
No.
Yeah. So your tree has to come down by a certain point. It can go up whenever you want.
Yeah.
Go up whenever you want, but it has to come down by a certain day. Otherwise, it's bad luck.
Well, did you have Krampus?
No, but I love Krampus.
No. Okay. What? I thought I was entering into this conversation way differently.
Oh, sorry. I mean, boo, Krampus.
You, really? What do you like about Krampus?
I just think it's hilarious. I think it's okay, like, okay. I just think it's so, you know what, the North American equivalent would be the Grinch.
That's true. But I feel like Krampus is scarier. Like, so if you don't know who Krampus is, it is this mythical being mm-hmm. that comes before Christmas. And if you have been bad, the legend says they take you away from your home.
Yeah, they put you in a sack. And
oh, gosh, no. That I feel, you know what? If they use that on me now, I'd be scared. Like that, yeah. That just the thought.
And Krampus is a scary looking dude.
Yes, it is a scary looking dude. They have him in Austria.
Yeah, he's very East. I believe it is originally German, but a lot of the Eastern European countries have adopted Krampus. He never made it to England.
Nope.
So when we were kids, there was no Grinch. Yeah, Dr. Seuss book, of course, but there was no like Grinch. It wasn't a big thing. It was very simply, if you were naughty, you got coal. If you were good, you got presents. Mm-hmm. That was it.
That was it.
Yeah.
Straight.
Yeah. Santa was like the judge of good and bad. Mm-hmm. He didn't need to outsource his job to Krampus.
Outsource his job to Krampus? Yeah.
Get with the program, Santa. You work one day year and you need somebody else to do the naughty children. Yeah. Come on, buddy. Yeah.
I know a couple of weeks ago you brought up Australia. They're known for their beach Christmases.
I would love that.
Yeah, barbecues instead of feasts.
Yeah.
So that was really interesting to me. I think I would like to, I don't know if I'd want to experience it just once. I think we talked about this, how you were like, oh, maybe I'd like to experience it just once sitting on a beach on Christmas Day, but I don't know, I'm not quite ready for it.
I think I could adapt pretty quick to that.
Yeah.
I really do.
Speaking of barbecue, have you heard about the tradition in Japan?
Nope.
So instead of a turkey dinner, they have KFC. I kid you not.
Oh my God, I have.
Have you heard of that?
Random fact. I would never have pulled that from the memory banks. But when you said it, yes, I have heard
it. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
I had no idea. And then I'm looking it up and I'm like, yep, it's a tradition. Go out and get KFC.
Yep. Well, we don't do a big meal anymore for Christmas.
No.
And then none of my family was a big fan of turkey. My sister and I are both vegan.
Yeah.
It always just seems like a ton of work.
Yeah.
Now what we do is we have a crazy amount of food, but it's all finger foods.
Oh,
and
I like that.
Everybody just comes in and helps themselves, and there's cheeses and crackers, and I make sausage rolls and all the candy and sweets you could ever think of, sandwiches. Last year I did some soups, and that's Christmas meal, and there's just food out from the beginning of the day to the end of the day, and help yourself to whatever you want.
But see, here's what I love about that is that it's probably more cooking than you used to, right? Like I you would just make, okay, this is my dinner. But like, if you come up with like a big spread, I think that's still special. And I think that's still a feast.
And the great thing is you don't have to make everything that day.
Yeah, true, true.
So the week leading in, you can be like, oh, I'm going to make all the cookies today.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow I'll make the brownies and the mince pies. And then I'll make the sausage rolls. And then I'll prepare the soup. And then Christmas comes and you're just unwrapping things, warming things up and putting them on the table.
Ah, I'm coming.
You're invited.
Thank you. Yeah. going into Greece, they do decorate trees, but they also decorate boats.
They decorate boats. Interesting.
It's the coolest thing. I saw this picture of this big, big, big Christmas tree next to a big, big, tall ship, and they both had Christmas lights on them, and it looked so magical.
I was in Greece. I'm a very small amount of time, but there was not once that I can remember looking out at the ocean and not seeing some kind of vessel on it.
Yes, exactly.
It wasn't jam-packed. It's not like you couldn't swim or it was ridiculously full. Far from it. But there's always some boat happening, a shipping boat, a cruise ship, a private boat, kayaks, paddle boarders. Like the list is, if you can think of a water vehicle, a watercraft, a boat thingy.
a boat thingy?
Yeah. It's on the water somewhere in Greece at any given moment.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think the prairie alternative would be? Combine?
I mean, I'd like to see somebody decorate a grain elevator.
Yes, yeah. I knew it. Absolutely. I think Natton actually does it.
I can see that.
Natton has some pretty cool.
Well, that grain elevators are like their pride and joy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Maybe if grain elevator is too big, because I can't even imagine how many lights it would take. Tractor.
Yeah. And then the last one, and kind of bringing it back to home, is back to our Christmas tree capital of the country, Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
So you think they have all these trees, right? That they would want to decorate and make beautiful displays. And I'm sure they do. But there's actually this tradition of making Christmas trees out of other things, like fishing traps.
Oh, like lobster traps and stuff.
Yes, exactly. It's the coolest thing. So if you're on a deep dive on the internet one day, just go into like Nova Scotia, you know, lobster trap Christmas trees. And it's actually really cool.
Do you like over the top Christmas, or do you like toned down, delicate Christmas?
Okay, who do you think I am?
Over the top.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. Like, yeah. And you're more toned down?
Yeah, we simple.
Yeah.
Very, very simple. We never, and I touched on this before, we never, ever once, until we came to North America, nobody had any decorations on the outside of the home.
Yeah.
Like it just wasn't done. Mm-hmm. It just wasn't something that you did. And that's how I grew up. And I have no problem. It's your house. You do you, man. But there are some that I go past and I'm like, oh my God, like it is so over the top. I'm like,
I have way too much Christmas spirit. Like my Christmas spirit is overflowing to the point where like, I am putting it on other people too. Like, I'm just like, I'm like, I want to go like, this is the time of year where I love going and donating my time as well. Like I was recently downtown at the Kirby Center with the seniors and just having a beautiful lunch with them and just spending time and laughing and learning from these beautiful humans. And we filled a shoebox this year.
Nice.
And we adopted a senior and did a gift exchange with a senior. Well, not exchange, but do you know what I mean?
Yep.
I'm exploding with Christmas spirit and love for just our city and just people in general. So
a number of years ago, I couldn't make it to Calgary for Christmas. And I was single that year. And a buddy of mine, same kind of story, he couldn't be with his family. So we volunteered on Christmas Eve at the local soup kitchen.
Yeah.
And we went down. I was like, man, how did I get the job of dish pit? I wasn't thrilled about that, but hey, you lend a hand where you can lend a hand. It was really good. It was really good, uplifting moment. And then we left and we wanted to get something to eat.
Yeah.
But everywhere was closed because it was Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Except we found a falafel joint.
What?
Because they don't celebrate Christmas.
Oh.
So they were open.
That's good.
And it was, I don't know whether it was the moment, the occasion, just that restaurant or what, but it was some of the best falafel. And yeah, we stuffed our faces and it was fantastic. And it was, then we walked around downtown in Montreal on Christmas Eve.
I think you've given me an idea. We're going out to Vancouver. Obviously we can't cook in our hotel room. Yep. So I think I might get a falafel.
There you go. There you go. Go for some shawarma.
Exactly. But that's not all there is in December. For example, Hanukkah just started. Yep. It's the Festival of Lights, Kwanzaa, African-American culture is celebrating that from December 26th to January 1st. Big communal feast called Karamu. Again, gathering a whole bunch of family and friends to celebrate the end of the year. We also have Bodhi Day, which is celebrated in the Buddhism culture. And then, of course, the Hindu religion celebrates Diwali, which I'll be completely honest, I didn't know much about Diwali until this year. And that was because the city of Calgary put on a huge celebration.
You know, there's a lot to be said about, and I'm not going to go into it, good or bad or anything like that. I'm not going to go on any rant. But the globalization and how it feels like the planet has got a whole lot smaller since everybody now has computers in their pockets and connectivity and mass amounts of social media. One of the good things is the amount you can learn about other cultures.
Oh, yeah.
You know, Ramadan. Okay, I knew what Ramadan was. I've been to a Ramadan feast. I had Muslim friends back in Montreal and they invited me. I said, but I'm not Muslim. And they said, we don't care. We feed everybody. Oh, it was amazing. Mm-hmm. The food was just, and they're dancing and it's wonderful. And I was like, what is happy Ramadan? Like, is that merry Ramadan? I don't know what to say. And then just recently, I think it was about 3 years ago, and I saw a post on Twitter and it said, and I apologize if my pronunciation is incorrect, but it said Eid Mubarak.
Oh.
And I looked it up, and that is their way of saying, like, you know, congratulations, happy Ramadan, and it's Eid Mubarak.
That's cool.
And I have a Muslim friend, and I was like, I'm going to try it out. And I saw him, and I was like, hey, Eid Mubarak. And he was so touched. And he was like, thank you so much. And I was like, oh, but I didn't know that. Mm-hmm. And I never thought to look it up because it's not my culture. It wasn't something I did. And I learned that, and it offered a moment of connectivity.
Absolutely, it did.
You know, and all those years ago when my friends, it was Dana and Mohammed, invited me to a Ramadan. And I was like, yeah, I don't go to church. I'm an atheist. They were like, we don't care. It's a community thing. And I went, and it was, oh my God, the food and the desserts. And it was just everybody helping themselves. Everybody's in a good, and nobody, not one person made me feel like I was the odd one out.
Yeah.
Everybody was just welcome. And I was like, yeah, this is what we need.
This is why I love this time of year, right? It's a lot of love and celebration.
I like it because I get to wear this hat.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's really what it's all about.
But there's two more things. So if we are talking about secular holidays around this time of year, there's two that really stuck out to me. And then we'll move on to snacks.
Yeah, I'm eyeballing the snacks.
So. Yeah. You've heard of Festivus?
For the rest of us.
Yes. Yeah. There we go. Festivus. If you're not familiar, this was featured on Seinfeld. And there's a whole episode. So if you're unsure, just go check that out.
The feats of strength.
Yeah. I've been watching a lot of Seinfeld lately. Yeah, let's be honest.
I did. When they released Seinfeld on Netflix, I am not ashamed to admit I binge watched it.
Oh gosh, I can't tell you how many times I've binge watched it.
Well, they're like 25 minutes an episode.
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, so you're like, oh, okay, supper's on. I got this. I can't really do anything. Seinfeld.
And there's also Newton Miss.
I've heard.
No, you have not.
Yes, I have heard.
Have
of,
you?
Yeah, I have heard of Newton Mass.
Oh no,
it's where you all get together and celebrate the invention of the fig Newton.
Is it?
No.
Oh, I was like, did I look up the wrong thing? I didn't know this was a thing, but it's Isaac Newton's birthday on the 25th of December.
The atheist scientist community who are like, we don't want religion. We want to celebrate something else, but they want a reason to celebrate.
Yeah.
And I celebrate Christmas in the same way that I celebrate Valentine's Day.
Yeah.
Valentine's Day gives me a reminder to, you know, do something a little extra special for Jenny.
Yeah.
Halloween is a reminder. Hey, you know what? It's about the kids. Make sure you've got some candy and tell everybody how awesome their costumes
are. Yes.
It's just wrapped up in it. And it's a feeling, again, of there's a togetherness and a connectivity. Mm-hmm. You know, how much fun is the Golden Acre Christmas party?
Oh, yeah. Oh, Christmas parties.
Yeah.
There's something I didn't think about.
Yeah. We're lucky. We work with a lot of friends.
Yeah.
You know, like outside of work, you're my friend.
Yeah.
So it's very easy for us to hang out at a party. Yeah. And it's very. So,
I feel like at ours is just a bunch of plant nerds talking about plants.
Yeah. And heckling each other and stealing gifts.
Yeah.
It gets rowdy.
But that's honestly like whatever you celebrate. Yeah. I think the point of this is to say welcome to the podcast.
One of the things I love about gardening and about plants is that it transcends everything.
It
doesn't matter your religion, your race, where you live. Just because the way we plant in Calgary is how we do it, it doesn't mean it's going to work in Halifax or in Vancouver or whatnot. And that's one of the things I love about plants is I love being downstairs in the spring and just people watching and seeing absolutely everybody come in.
Yeah.
It does not matter. And everybody is here because they love plants.
Yeah.
And that's one of the reasons like, a healthy garden is a diverse garden and a healthy planet is a diverse planet.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I think is the best about plants. Merry Christmas, plants.
Merry Christmas. I don't know if you know this, but the Golden Acre Community Market happened a few weeks ago and my favorite vendor came again, the snack hole. Shout out to the snack hole.
Is that where you got the column of caterpillars?
You know, yes. Even if they ask to sponsor the show, I'm just going to give the sponsorship for free because this is the best stuff ever.
Yeah, I think we've established that.
So they brought in more vegan M&S food candy. So take a look at this one.
Take a look at this one.
What's that one?
What do we got here? Percy. No way.
You what? You've heard of Percy Pig?
No. Nope. But are they like the squishy mallow cat?
No, No? I don't know. Open it.
Can I? They're going to be chewy as hell, and I'm going to eat one, and then you're going to ask me some in-depth questions.
Just lick it. I don't know.
Just lick.
Okay, so it's a little.
It's Rudolph.
It's a little Rudolph. It's okay.
It smells like.
Oh, that's weird.
Yeah.
Does it have a flavor on it?
I don't know what flavor that is.
Yeah.
But that's hella delicious.
Yeah. And then we've also got Colin the Caterpillar representing.
Colin the Caterpillar candy cane.
What will they do next?
I'm
going to
bite his nose off.
Do it. Okay, so you got like pigs in here. You've got.
No, it would be a little weird if it was like Percy the Pig and it's like, that's a reindeer.
And friends.
Okay, and now we got to try a call. Yeah, you got to try caterpillar. One of these ones first, though. This is like cream soda. Oh, I get why he's bent, because he looks like a candy cane. I thought it was going to be minty, but they're bent like it. Okay.
Yeah, so.
You're the best, Brandy.
I love holiday treats.
I think one of the most divisive holiday treats is fruitcake.
Oh.
Do you like fruitcake?
I like fruitcake, but we can't have it anymore. It's got gluten in it.
So my mom used to make one. She hasn't made one in years now. The timing and everything else. She used to make her fruitcake for Christmas on September 1st. And she would put it all together and she would form it. And then what they do is they feed it brandy. So you buy a really nice bottle of brandy and you soak it to the point that on Christmas Day, you could light it on fire. And basically, you eat this piece of cake and you're like, I feel very festive. And it's
Are you serious?
Yeah. If you look it up, like literally my mom, when we came to North America and so many people were like, oh, I hate fruitcake. Yeah. I hate fruitcake. And we were like, what the hell? I love it.
Yeah.
And then we had a North American fruitcake and we were like, yes, that is. And
it's different.
Everybody different. There you go. That I like way more diplomatic. But everybody that we convinced to try, because you know how it is. If you're like, I don't like something and somebody's like, oh, well, you just have to try it this way. You're like, mm. No. Like, I don't like celery. And every single way I've had celery, I haven't liked it. So I can't imagine there's some newfangled way that I'm suddenly going to like celery. But we managed to convince a few people, just like, try it. It's fruitcake. What's the worst that's going to happen? Not one person was like, oh, that's disgusting. Everybody was like, oh, my God. Because so it's all done with like the dried fruits that my mom would use. I can't remember all of them, but tons and tons of dried fruits. And then she would feed it the brandy, but it stayed really, really moist. And then she would do a layer of the marzipan, the almond marzipan over it. And then she would cover it in frosting and then we would decorate it.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
Yeah. And it was really good with very sharp Cheshire cheese.
Okay. My mouth is like, you know, Brad's granny did rum cake. Same kind of deal. Oh,
yeah.
So good.
Like, I'll have two more shots of cake.
Yeah. Well, let's move on to, actually, hold on. So you know how last week you got me a present?
Yep.
Okay, so I got you a little something this week. You what ready?
What are you? And you wrapped yours properly.
I actually wrapped it.
Did you do that just to make me look like a jerk? Where's the shopper's, the classy shopper's
jerk?
Do I untie it?
No. Is that how you normally unwrap gifts?
Well, it's just, it's rope. So I figured
you know, there's like two kinds of people. There's the one person that will unwrap it very carefully and the other person that just like rips it apart.
So I used to be a rip apart.
Yeah.
I used to be a rip apart and now I'm a little more thoughtful. But if this knot doesn't sort itself out, we're going to be going retro. So skilled at stuff like this.
Oh.
Oh my pots and pan man,
the pots
moon
and
face.
Man. I had a really fun time kind of going through this because if you're not familiar, what Colin's holding is a book called The Faraway Tree. And the magic faraway tree.
Thank
sorry.
Thank you.
And I can't remember what episode this was in. I will link the episode that we talked about this book in the show notes over at goldenacre.ca/blog, and then you can take a peek. But this was a childhood book that Colin had growing up, and I actually found a copy. It's so cool. Like the illustrations inside of it. Okay. I thought when you said, oh, this is a book I grew up with, I thought it was like going to be like little stories and stuff. These are like, there's a lot of pages. Like, look at that, all the writing on those pages.
Yeah. It's not like one of those kids' book where it's like, they climbed the tree.
Yeah.
You and me. it's like an actual story.
And it smells like old book.
Oh, wow. Well, I know what I'm... I am going to be binging Seinfeld. I'm going to be... this is... Thank you so much. That is such a thoughtful, beautiful gift.
So you get a book, and now I'm going to read you a story. Oh, not from the book. Sorry.
Can I read a story?
No, you got to eat your call of the caterpillar.
I'm going to eat this reindeer again.
So I went into ChatGPT, just like our Halloween episode, and asked it to tell us a story based on "Twas the Night Before Christmas."
Nice.
So here's how it goes. "'Twas the night before Christmas in the gardening abode. Colin and Brandy, hosts of the podcast, bestowed. Their mics were all set and the snacks were prepared in hopes that good tales of plants would soon be shared."
I love it.
"The seedlings were nestled in pots all in rows while visions of harvests and containers arose." And Colin in his overalls. I don't think I've ever seen you wear overalls.
Nope.
And Brandy with cheer.
I've definitely seen you with cheer.
Yeah. Had just settled in for a podcast premiere. "When out on the lawn, there arose such a clatter, they sprang from their seats to see what was the matter. Away to the window, they flew in a flash, tore open the shutters and threw up the sash. The moon on the soil of the garden below gave the luster of growth to the seedlings in a row. When what to their wondering eyes did appear but a miniature sleigh and 8 tiny reindeer. With a little old gardener so lively and quick, they knew in a moment it must be St. Nick."
I'm not sure he's ever been a gardener, but okay. It rhymes, it works.
"More rapid than hummingbirds, his coursers they came, and he whistled and shouted and called them by name." Sorry, I'm going to try to get through this.
I don't even know what you're going to say, and I'm laughing.
"Now peppers, now roses, now tomatoes and sage. On orchids, on daisies, on marigolds, engage. To the top of the trellis, to the top of the wall. Now plant away, plant away, plant away all."
That is so good.
"As dry leaves that before the wild hurricane fly, when they meet with an obstacle, mount to the sky. So up to the housetop, the coursers they flew, with a sleigh full of plants and St. Nicholas too. And then in a twinkling, they heard on the roof the prancing and pawing of each little hoof." From the plants, I would assume. I don't know. Oh, wait, no, they're reindeer, plant names.
Yeah, they were reindeer with plant names.
That's right. Thank you for keeping me straight. "As Colin and Brandy drew in their heads, down the chimney, St. Nicholas came with leafy threads. He was dressed all in green from his head to his foot, and his clothes were all tarnished with compost and soot. A bundle of plants he had flung on his back, and he looked like a gardener just opening his pack. His eyes, how they twinkled, his dimples, how merry. His cheeks were like roses, his nose like a cherry. His droll little mouth was drawn up like a bow, and the beard on his chin was as white as the snow. He spoke not a word, but went straight to his work, watering and pruning with a nod and a smirk, and laying his finger aside of his nose and giving a nod, up the chimney he rose. He sprang to his sleigh, to his team gave a whistle, and away they flew like the down of a thistle. But they heard him exclaim, ere he drove out of sight, 'Happy gardening to all, and to all a green night.'"
That is, oh my
Who
God.
Who knew Santa was a gardener?
Do you know how happy I would be if Santa like rolled up?
Yeah.
Came to my house, left some presents, and then like, you know, did all my plants with neem oil, a little bit of fertilizer.
Sounds like he gave you the greatest gift of all, plant care.
It would depend though. I mean, could you know how I am? I'd probably be like, Way to go, Santa. That one didn't need to be watered.
Way to mess it up.
Yeah. That, oh my God, that is a brilliant story.
I was actually really happy with this one. It was really good.
That one is, yeah, that's a 11 out of 10.
What'd you think of the reindeer names?
I thought they were
I could not get through that. Like,
it's not what I was excited. I figured they would just be the regular reindeer names.
No,
they changed.
Marigold.
Do you know that? Don't hold me to this, but I'm almost positive Santa Claus's original colors were green and gold.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, I believe in Germany, I've heard, and I have no idea how true this is, but he got changed to red and white by the Coca-Cola Corporation.
Oh, yeah, I heard that too.
Yeah, for marketing. I don't know if it's one of those urban myths that, mm-hmm. that goes on. And you know what the thing is? Whenever I see those like wooden retro Santas and he's in green and gold.
Yeah.
It's such a better color.
I was just looking at pictures and he looks pretty rad.
You know what, Santa, honestly, he could wear like, you know, blue and charcoal and you'd be like, yeah, it's okay. You're making it work, big man.
You mean compost and soot, right?
Exactly. Well, do you know what made me laugh about that too? Because when you said soot, the first place my brain went was soot comes from charcoal and charcoal is good to put in your garden with compost.
Yeah.
So there you go. Santa was just doing some preparations of amendments.
Not the fact that you were a bad boy and received charcoal for Christmas.
Yeah, no, not about that. And I guess if he's covered in charcoal, he swept my chimney. In England, we didn't have a fireplace in our house. And I was very concerned when I was a kid how Santa would get in.
You got to watch the Tim Allen Santa Claus then.
Oh, okay.
Does he addresses it, that. It's that, fine.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, okay, as long as it's being addressed.
Well, that was so much fun. What did we talked about traditions. We had some snacks. We shared some stories.
I got one of the best. That's going to have a special place.
I hope you can show Harry that book because I think that's such a like a really important part of your childhood.
I'll tell you who will lose their mind for this is my sister as well.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. Well, thank you so much for joining us this week on the Helpful Gardeners podcast. You know, we're going to be rounding out the year with a really special podcast episode, just wrapping things up for 2023 and then heading into 2024 with like all new intentions and looking forward to some of the cool things that you're going to be doing with your garden. So we hope that you'll continue to join us into the new year.
Thank you for following along. You guys listening to us is genuinely one hell of an amazing gift. So thank you, everybody. Thank you. We'll talk to you all soon.